changes that impact our entire society. When the writers and the
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. We want to welcome all of our family. This is Wednesday Live. You're listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. You will want to definitely keep your dial set right here at 89.9 because I want to welcome right now Jonathan Kahn on air with us. We have many exciting things getting ready to happen right here on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In fact, we have the I Will Stand With Israel event that's coming up on the 26th. That's going to be at the Finn Center in Port St. Lucie. I believe, Karen, almost every hour we have spots playing.
We absolutely do.
That's the plan, right?
So, absolutely.
Called saturation. Saturation.
That's right.
We're going to reach everyone and let them know that whoever you are, from wherever you are, come and stand with us as we stand with Israel. I want to welcome Jonathan Kahn to the air right now. Welcome, Rabbi.
Great to be with you, Jonathan.
Well, it seems like we're doing this on a regular basis, and we love it here, and I think all of our listeners do as well. But we are coming together this morning, first of all, to say that you're going to be right here on the Treasure Coast of Florida on the 26th of September for this event, and also Paul Wilbur is going to be here. But in addition to that, we want to talk about a book I have in my hand, The Dragon's Prophecy, Israel, The Dark Resurrection, and The End of Days. This book is different from any other book I've read of yours. Give us a little intro, and welcome to WCNO.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. I didn't plan on writing The Dragon's Prophecy. I was working on another book, and the Lord just interrupted me. And this is like the only book I've written that really totally goes into the realm of end time prophecy. What's happening now? It is removing a veil from the current events. So what's actually behind them? And what's behind them are prophetic, our prophecies, our mysteries, and even entities. And so this is, once you see it, it all makes sense, what's happening, because you cannot understand what's happening in the world without that. And the thing is that this is also, every believer, everyone who's listening is involved in it. There's a war, and we are all involved in it. How do we overcome? So the Dragon's Prophecy is the revealing of these mysteries, but also the how do we overcome in the days ahead, what's coming. This is the only book I wrote where I'm writing it, and as I'm the things I'm writing are coming true as I'm writing it. I had to keep on rewriting because of that. You and I were just talking a little bit before, but you know, and this is all to the glory of God, but it, you know, this was not I didn't plan the book. It was the Lord, and it ended up, you know, debuting as the number one book in the world. That's got to be the Lord. So I believe, I have no doubt it's for this hour, for God's people. You know, I also never had so much spiritual warfare against, so I all the more know it is now, and that this is for everybody.
So I understand that this book is number one.
I was sure before, even the New York Times was forced to put it up as number one. Publishers Weekly, number one of all books. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and about twice as much as any other book. So this is just crazy. We don't even understand it, but it's the Lord.
All right, we're going to jump into the book, but Rabbi, I know that you have known Paul Wilbur and his family for a long time, and you all are friends, and we're going to have a great reunion here on the 26th. And you're able to be with us again down here on the Treasure Coast. We are so excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known Paul for ages, and it's always a great thing. He's wonderful, you know, minister of worship, praise, music, one of the greatest in the world. Going to be wonderful. I'm going to share a prophetic message linked to all this and what's happening, and Stand with Israel. So this goes with all this, and actually it's my spiritual birthday, September 26th. I was born again on that day, and that's also the date for the return, when we have the return to Washington. So I believe it's going to be a real anointed night.
Well, I've read, I believe, most of your books, and we've had several interviews, but I have never read anything other than the Word of God in my life that brought prophecy and current events and just biblical solid truth together like this book. So we want to get into it. So the dragon's prophecy is different from the others. You just mentioned that that God really put this on your heart, and reading it, my wife said this morning, she said, we don't know of anyone that God is speaking through like this at this time. So we know that God has raised you up. Let's talk about this message. And it's full of mysteries. You know, we have invasion. We have war going on in Israel. We have all of this stuff happening. So is it true that one of the mysteries in the book foretold the invasion of Israel by Hamas? Is that part of this?
In fact, that was part of the genesis of the book. That is that it was a Friday night, and I was led, you know, to share at the congregation I lead up here, which is called Beth Israel in New Jersey, and it was Friday night, so I'm led to share a mystery from Leviticus, and this mystery, and I'm not saying I know all these things, God does, and he planned it, but this mystery ordained that there would be an attack on Israel. It would take Israel by surprise. It would be a calamity for Israel. It would happen in the year 2023, would take place in the month of October of that year. It would happen on a Saturday, the Sabbath in Israel. It would take place on a Hebrew holy day, that is also in Leviticus, and altogether it would take place on the first Saturday of October of 2023. Now, I shared that mystery. The next morning, it happened. And people who were at the service said, whoa, you were just talking about this thing. Well, this mystery actually even, and it's one of the mysteries in the dragon's prophecy, may even enable us to know coming events and even when they will happen. Because after I finished the manuscript of the dragon's prophecy, there were three more events, three more things that came true according to the mystery. So I don't believe this is stopping. So that is how it opened up. That's how it started, with that dramatic night and this mystery that's really uncanny.
The opening of the book starts out just with this tremendous exposure of evil. And some people struggle with the whole discussion of the devil and what does Jewish history say about that? But this book tears right into that. What is the word? What's your book release from that whole topic?
Yeah. Well. That is the foundation. That, you know, the Bible says very clearly there is an entity, a fallen, angelic, a twisted entity that is called in Hebrew Hasatan. That's where you get the word Satan from. It means the opponent, the opposer, one who has twisted and inverted and exists to nullify the works of God, nullify the purpose of God, the existence itself. And so he wars against the purpose of God. Now you have that. On the other hand, you have another entity that is a nation called Israel that God brought into the world, the Jewish people, for the purpose of accomplishing God's purposes, to bring forth the purpose of God, the Word, Messiah, Jesus, the kingdom of God. They exist for that. So what's going to happen when the two are in the same world? Well, there's going to be a war. And that's exactly what's happened. And that it's no accident that the Jewish people have become the most warred against, the most vilified people, the most attacked people, the most hated people, the most, ravaged people, not just in today, but ancient times, medieval times, modern times. It never ends, because the war is not of flesh and blood. The enemy is not flesh and blood. The first anti-Semite was an angel. And so this is what's behind it. And the enemy knows that if he can destroy the Jewish people, he can stop the purposes of God. So he has been trying, and what's been happening in this last year is all part of an ancient war that was there long before any of us were born. We're just seeing the next part of it. And the thing is that you cannot understand, it makes no sense, it's not rational, the hatred for the Jewish people. Not rational, it's supernatural, and it's irrational. It's linked to the dragon, it's linked to the enemy. And that's why you can't understand people like Hitler. It makes no sense. You can't rationally explain that. That is demonic, and that is what we are witnessing in the world this very hour.
So, in the whole discussion of evil, some people don't believe there's even a devil. They don't believe there's a hell. They don't, people are out there. But what is it that makes evil evil? You address this in those opening chapters in such a powerful way.
Yeah, well, interesting, because, the problem of evil actually is the answer. It explains evil. Because if evil was not, if God had created, you say, well, where did evil come from? How did it be here if God didn't create it? That's the whole point. If God created it, it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't go against the fabric of creation. Evil is evil because it's the twisting. God gave free will. It's the twisting of that away from God. And all evil begins with that, which it's the nullifying. God is I am. Evil is the trying to nullify existence, nullify I am. And the enemy cannot nullify God, so he attacks the works of God. He attacks the people of God. He attacks, that's why the Jewish people are in the bullseye. Because, God said, he put the Jewish people on earth to be a witness that he's a, that he exists. Well, they are. The existence of the Jewish people is a witness to the existence of God. But it's also the history of the Jewish people is a witness to the existence of the enemy. You cannot explain it. Why is it that the most evil people in history are obsessed with one thing, the Jewish people? Why? Because the enemy is obsessed with them. So this is it's incredibly proves not only evil, but exactly what the Bible says.
So you talk about inversion. You talk about the fact that evil cannot exist without good.
Yes. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Evil is parasitic, and that it shows you that evil is not first. Good is first. Good is what God created. Evil is a twisting of the good. So you can see that it's a parasite. You cannot. But you can have. Morality without immorality, but you can't have immorality without morality. It wouldn't be immorality unless it went against that. You can have laws, a law without crime, but you can't have crime without a law. You can have marriage without adultery, but you can't have adultery without marriage. You can have life without death, but you cannot have death without life. So the thing is that it's amazing, but when you look at it, that's exactly the case. You can have truth without a lie, but you can't have a lie without a truth. A lie is a twisting of the truth. So it's telling you all this is pointing back to the devil, to the enemy, because you have God, who is the existence, and then you have the twisting away from God, which is the devil.
So the book of Revelation picks up with really the title of your book. We see dragon, the dragon, and we see a woman in the book of Revelation. And how does that tie in as we get into this revelation?
Yeah, the dragon in Revelation 12, and this is, by the way, when I'm praying about, Lord, do you want me to write this book? And I didn't know the theme of it at all. That's when I saw this red dragon in my mind, and I knew what it was. This is from Revelation 12. And this is the war of the dragon, which is a symbol of the enemy. And then the woman with 12 stars on her head, and then gives birth to Messiah that can only be Israel. And so the dragon wars against the woman. It says he rages against her. And that is a picture of what's been happening in the last, this is written 2,000 years ago, but most of this has come true after that. And that is a picture of the war. And it says literally the dragon in Greek persecuted the woman. What people are known for persecution more than any other? The Jewish people. It's the dragon's war. And the people who rise up in every generation, they're just pawns. dragon against this people. And the thing is that the focus of that prophecy is the first century and the end times. And what they have in common in Revelation 12 is that in both cases, Israel was in the land. It was a constituted nation. And so what it's saying is when Israel came back into the world, this war is going to kick into overdrive. And that is what we are seeing. That is what we are going to see. That's why the world rages against Israel. So this is now going to set the stage for what we are seeing in this very day.
Who are the Sea Peoples? I was not familiar with that term.
Yeah. The Sea Peoples are let me start this way. You know, and when you look at the spiritual, everything else makes sense. And so, what do we know about the enemy? The enemy is an imitator. He's a mimic. He imitates God.
It's true.
To replace him. So what did God do? God brought back an ancient nation into the modern world, and the nation of Israel into the modern world. He resurrected them. So what does the enemy do? He's going to resurrect another ancient people. He's going to bring them back into the modern world. And what people? Well, he's the enemy. So it's going to be an enemy people. It's going to be a people who were the arch enemies of Israel. He's going to seek to bring them back to war against Israel and God's work today. It's going to be the anti-work. So that's exactly it. So who are they? Well, the arch enemies of Israel in the Bible are the people who are called the Philistines. They were known as the Sea Peoples. They swept in from the Mediterranean and raided all the lands, and then they settled on the coast of Israel. They were the nemesis of Israel. Well, could he resurrect them? Well, he already has. And this is not about the people. We pray for all people. And the people, they don't know what they're doing. They're being used. But the people that the world calls the Palestinians, do you know what the word Palestinian means? People have no idea what the word Palestinian means. The word Palestinian means the Philistines. In fact, the way you pronounce it, you know, they don't say it in English, Palestinians. They say it in Arabic. The way you say Palestinian in Arabic, in their language, you pronounce it Philistine or Philistini. And that is, it is literally, it means the Philistines. And the amazing thing is, it's just the timing. As God was resurrecting Israel, at the very moment, right after that, the enemy starts resurrecting the Philistines, the Philistine resurrection. And every moment when something happens with Israel, something happens with the Philistine resurrection. And it's like it's a people who are being conformed into the image of the ancient Philistines, the enemies of Israel, step by step by step. And that is what was behind everything, October 7th. Everything is part of this mystery.
So the city of Gaza. I mean, we're seeing the Philistines. We're seeing the Sea People. Gaza, there's a lot of talk of Gaza in the news. How does that tie in?
Yeah, well, even the places are prophetic. I mean, for example, there's a link to Gaza. Well, Gaza was a city of the Philistines, and Gaza was in a place called Pilashet, or in our Bibles it'll translate it as Philistia, or the region of the Philistines. They were all headquartered there. Well, today that same land, the Philistia, exists with a new name. And the name of the land of the Philistines, ancient Philistia, is now called, in the modern world, is called the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip is ancient Philistia. And the amazing thing is that when did the Gaza Strip come back? Well, this whole region was resurrected. When? In the year 1948, the very year that Israel was resurrected, the land of the Philistines was resurrected. And so the Jewish people, the people of Israel, went back to return to the land of Israel. The people called the Philistines returned to the land of the Philistines. And that is a setup from the enemy. And in ancient times, from Gaza, from Philistia, from the Gaza Strip, came all sorts of evil that came into Israel. And that is exactly what happened on October 7th.
So what about Hamas?
Yeah. Well, Hamas is an Arabic word, and an Arabic acronym, Islamic Resistance Movement, or also means fervor and zeal, but it's also a Hebrew word at the same moment. And in Hebrew, the word Hamas means something different. It means evil, violence, death, and destruction. And so that's what Hamas means. And Hamath actually appears in the Bible, in the Dragon's Prophecy. I show where it is. It's amazing. For instance, it says, Lord, in the Bible, save me from the man of Hamas. It says, Hamas has risen up in the land as a rod of evil. And it says, you know how Hamas hides in the tunnels? It says in the Bible, Hamas dwells in the dark places of the earth. And then it says in the prophets, God tells Israel, rid Hamas from the land. And then it gives a promise of when Messiah will reign on earth in that kingdom. And you know what the promise says to Israel? It says, in that day, this is thousands of years ago, in that day, Hamas shall no longer be heard in your land.
Mm. So you mention Adolf Hitler, that he too had a part in October 7. How could that be?
Yeah, people don't realize this. You know, the war is ongoing. And so in every generation, the enemy, the dragon, raises up people to serve him to war against Israel or the Jewish people. And it goes from generation to generation. So there's like a passing of the torch down from there's actually a connection. And here's the thing. I open up in the book about this, that there was a guy named Al-Husseini. And he was also called the Mufti. And he was in the Middle East, and he was responsible for Jewish bloodshed in the 20th century. He warred against that Israel would not come back into the world. He was going to be put on trial. He escaped, and he went to Berlin, Germany. And there he met with Adolf Hitler. And they had an alliance. And he wanted Hitler to bring the Holocaust to Israel, and Hitler promised that he would. And then the Mufti worked for Adolf Hitler. It was an employee at Radio Berlin, and he broadcast to the Arabic world Hitler's hatred of the Jewish people, infected that world. And after the war, he was going to be put on trial. I'm talking about the Mufti at Nuremberg. He escaped, went to Egypt. In Egypt, he met a teenager, an Egyptian teenager, and he discipled him, trained him, adopted him. He even brought in a Nazi to train this one. The teenager's name was Yasser Arafat.
Mm.
So this is a direct connection from Hitler down to Yasser Arafat. And by the way, the Mufti is called the father of Palestinian nationalism, and he worked for Adolf Hitler, and so is Arafat. And there's like, but it goes even. There's even more because Hitler in the 1930s he supported an organization, he funded it, paid for their expenses, he trained them, they helped them in propaganda. The organization's name, which was just starting, was called the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood gave birth to Hamas. Hamas is actually part of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood was mentored by Adolf Hitler. And in fact, the charter of the Muslim Brotherhood reads it from like the words of Adolf Hitler. And I'm going to throw in another thing here. You know, when Hitler was beginning the Holocaust, he put a guy in charge of it whose name was Heinrich Himmler. And what can I do here? This is live. can you hold it for a second?
We can hold it for a second for sure. Let's go to a song. Let's go to Days of Elijah, and we'll be right back. We have Jonathan Kahn with us on air today, and we are live, and sounds like we have a friendly pet that's stepping in there as well. We'll be right back with Jonathan Kahn. Keep your dial set right here. Days of Elijah.
Darkness and sore, still we are the
All right. Well, that was Paul Wilbur with Days of Elijah, a familiar song. I believe many of you would know that. And we're going right back to Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan, we were just talking about Adolf Hitler. And
yeah. And by the way, and that's good. They heard Paul Wilbur, who's going to be there that night. So that's some of the stuff you're going to get at this event, that when we're all together on the 26th. So yeah, I started talking about Adolf Hitler, and my dog went crazy. So, and I feel like barking too. You know, when I hear Adolf Hitler.
Right.
But the thing is that Adolf Hitler put in charge of the Holocaust Heinrich Himmler, and the thing is that the day he put him over the territories where they invaded and to really begin the Holocaust, the day that he chose was October 7th. The day that Himmler was born was October 7th. I mean, so you see that there's this signs of the enemy's war continuing, and that day, October 7th, was the worst day in Jewish history since the Holocaust. So you have all these connections that go, you know, evil has the dragon's fingerprints on it.
Definitely does. Now, the Jubilean mystery.
Yes. Well, the thing is that you know, God has done an amazing thing, and that is that in the Bible, you see the mystery of the Jubilee, and the Jubilee is that the 50th year. And the 50th year is that, you know, in that 50th year, if you lost your land, you got it back. You returned home. And so Israel lost its land, and the amazing thing is that God restored the nation of Israel, brought them back, returned them, brought them back according to the mystery of the Jubilee. And the thing is, the amazing thing is that you see this 50-year mystery. And I'll just give a quick nutshell that, for instance, 1867 is one of these years, and that year, the Sultan of Turkey, he releases the land of Israel to be redeemed, that the Jewish people can actually redeem it. Well, that's the first, the beginning. Then you count 50 years, it takes you to 1917. 1917, another thing happens. The Turks flee the land, and the British come in World War I, and they issue the Balfour Declaration, which promises the land to the nation of Israel, to the people of Israel. It's Jubilee, to the original owner returns. But they didn't get Jerusalem. Count 50 years, and where does it take you? It takes you to the year 1967, the next Jubilee. In the Six-Day War breaks out, and the third day, the Israeli soldiers enter the gates of their holy city, Jerusalem. And God restores Jerusalem to the Jewish people, which is prophecy. It's needed for Jesus to come again, and it's Jubilee. And the thing is, the one thing, though, in the Jubilee, you get the legal right of the land. It's recognized. But the world refused that, to give that to Israel. Even America never recognized Jerusalem. But count 50 years, and that takes you to the year 2017. Anything happen? 2017, America, under Donald Trump, issue the Jerusalem Declaration that for the first time recognizes Jerusalem legally, first time since ancient times. So this thing happens like amazingly, you know, but the enemy is an imitator. And so he's going to take the Jubilee of God, which is a blessing to Israel, and he's going to twist it around, turn it upside down, where it's going to become a curse. It's going to work against Israel. And so what was that? Well, there was one event that was a calamity for Israel. It was the greatest calamity they ever had in modern times, and it shook them up. It was called the Yom Kippur War. They were attacked by surprise. It was a ground attack, took them totally by surprise. So much so, it looked as if they were going to be destroyed. They even believed they were going to be destroyed. In fact, the Prime Minister of Israel almost committed suicide. That's how bad it was. Now, God turned it around. They ended up winning, but it shook them, has shaken them to this day, and they lost more people in that war and all this whole thing. Tragedy for Israel. But the enemy takes it, and he makes a devil's jubilee. What happens if you count 50 years from that calamity? It takes you from, that was 1973. It pinpoints the year 2023. When did the Yom Kippur War begin? In October. So it's pinpointing the month of October. It's something's going to happen. The devil's jubilee. When did it happen? The Yom Kippur War happened on a Saturday, on a Sabbath day. So this one is going to happen on a Saturday, a Sabbath day. The Yom Kippur War took place on a holy day that went back to the book of Leviticus. And so This one is going to go happen on a Hebrew holy day that's going to go back to the book of Leviticus. And the Yom Kippur War took place on the first Saturday of October 1973. So this one is going to be pinpointed. This Devil's Jubilee is going to happen on the first Saturday of October of 2023. And so it did. Everything happened exactly to the day. The first Saturday of October of 2023 happens to be October 7th.
So what exactly did the mystery foretell of the invasion of Israel?
Well, all these details, I mean, are there. All these details, you know, that every single one here is, you know, was foretold by the original, what happened in 73 of this Jubilee. And the thing is, I actually, in the book, in the Dragon's Prophecy, there's two prophetic countdowns that begin in the 20th century. They're countdowns of, well, one of them is in the 20th century, one's in the 21st century, but they each are countdowns of thousands of days. They're prophetic countdowns. One begins with a 6-day war, another begins with something that happened in America. And when you count down the days, each one of them converge and pinpoint, they end up on the Saturday morning of October 7th. So all these things were pinpointed, and all these details, I mean, you know, in the Yom Kippur War, Israel was taken by surprise. It led to war. I mean, it was like a replay. Even Israel was saying, this whole thing is replaying. The enemy was replaying it.
Well, these are days, Jonathan, when the church really needs to be awake, and we need to realize that what we see taking place in the news every day, the Word of God gives us understanding of it. End of days. That is that's something that I've been studying since I was in college, and I know a lot of our listeners are wondering, are those days now? Is this where we are? What are they?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the Bible gives very clear signs, and it's called in the Bible, I mean, and the largest section of the book is called the End of Days, and it begins with Moses, as far back as that. It's called in Hebrew the Acharit HaYamim, or the days of the end, or the end of days. And the thing is, it says, how are you going to know you're in the end of days? Well, you're going to be in that, you can check it off. The world that you're in is going to have Israel coming back into that world after being gone from the world, it's returned. Well, we got it. In that world, the Jewish people will have returned to Jerusalem. We got that. It says in that day, all the nations will be focused on Israel, obsessed on this little tiny New Jersey-sized land, and so they are. The whole world will rage against Israel. So it has. After this event, look what happened all over the world. It's crazy, but it's the enemy. But that is what it was foretold. And the nation of Israel is going to be attacked. Well, it's all there. Every check mark, you know, is there. And on top of the fact that it'll be a day of great falling away, apostasy from God. So that is all there. We are in the end times. And let me tell you something. That one of the mysteries from how the book of Revelation is actually linked up to our days. You know, in the book of Revelation, the dragon wars against the woman, and he does it by, in the symbolism, he sends forth a flood from his mouth to flood her away, to drown her away. Well, the flood, that's the way. Well, you know, October 7th, Hamas calls it something else. It's a code word. They call it Operation Tufan, that whole thing that happened. What's Tufan? Tufan is the Arabic word that means the flood, as in the dragon's flood of Revelation. It's all happening.
What about the apocalypse and the colors of the apocalypse? What is the parallel that we see with the colors?
Yeah, well, in the book of Revelation, there are colors, and there's colors for the four horsemen, you know, and they symbolize the apocalypse. And so you have the white horse symbolizing conquest. You have the red horse symbolizing war. You have the black horse symbolizing famine. And you have the green horse, sometimes called the pale horse, or in Greek, chloros, which is green, representing death. And so the amazing thing is, after this happened, this is so prophetic, after this happened in Israel, all around the world, there was this rage, not against Hamas, against Israel. hatred. It was the dragon's rage. You know, the in Revelation it actually speaks about the dragon having this rage, in Greek called orgizo, this fury. Well, it was all over the world. They're basically chanting for the death of Israel. And everywhere where there was this rage against Israel, the colors of the apocalypse start manifesting. How? Well, they raged. They all gathered around. Their banner was the flag of Palestine. The flag of Palestine is white for the white horse, red for the red horse, black for the black horse, and green for the green horse. And the colors of the apocalypse. And the amazing thing is that every nation that has those colors mark that nation as being an enemy of Israel.
The prophet Ezekiel, I've just been reading through that, foretells coming invasion of Israel, and that maybe the next big problem, prophetic event that is in the Word of God, and many people are asking that question. You reveal a surprising connection to that prophecy. What is it?
Yeah, the prophet Ezekiel gives a specific prophecy, and it's actually marked in the Bible for the end times. It says that this will happen in the latter days. And it says it'll happen after Israel has come back from the nations, which is only now. All nations gather back, and they will live in unwalled villages. That's now. Now, it has never been fulfilled yet, but it says that, so all the more, it may be the next big event. So what does it say? It says that an alliance of nations are going to come and they're going to invade the land of Israel. They're going to sweep down on it like a cloud. And the amazing thing is that Ezekiel gives names. And the names he gives are the ancient names of peoples, and we can identify them, a good amount of them, by exactly where they were. And the amazing thing, the one he calls Cush. Well, Cush is modern-day Sudan. And the next one, Put, he calls it, is modern-day Libya and North Africa. Then he speaks of a few of them, and with the name Togarma, and another which is all Asia Minor. That's Turkey. And then he speaks of one called that in the Bible is called Persia, but it actually is Iran. So and then there's another issue of Russia. That's a whole other thing. But the amazing thing is that every one of those nations has in the modern world become an enemy of the nation of Israel. How could Ezekiel know that? Only God knew that. But the main thing I found is that when I looked at the list of those nations, it says they're all going to take part in an invasion of Israel. The amazing thing is, for instance, Cush or the Sudan actually took part in the invasion of Israel on October 7th, was behind Hamas, behind everything. Put or Libya was also behind the invasion, took part in the invasion of October 7th. Turkey took part, funded it, all this, took part in the invasion of October 7th. And Iran was totally behind that invasion of October 7th. So for the first time ever in history, the nations of Ezekiel that he said are going to take part in an invasion of Israel all took part in an invasion of Israel. We crossed a prophetic line.
The dragon's prophecy speaks of an ancient entity called the Sarparas. What is the Sarparas?
This is, you know, one of the things about the book, as I said, it's to pull back the veil so you actually see what's behind everything and what's behind the news. And what's behind it is actually ancient, but it's still here. And the thing is that the Sarparas is an ancient entity, the Bible speaks about, that exists to war against the nation of Israel and to destroy it, to seek to stop the purpose of God for Israel. And so the thing is that it's mentioned, you know, in the prophets. And the thing is that, what does it mean? The Sarparas, Sar means ruler or master, leader or general. And Paras, what does that mean? Paras means the nation of Iran. So you have an entity that's actually linked to a nation. And this entity is obsessed with destroying Israel. So what does that mean? This explains everything. Why is Iran so obsessed with destroying the nation of Israel more than anything? because it is being moved by, the government is possessed by this entity that the Bible speaks about that is obsessed with the destruction of Israel. That's why. It's no accident that Iran is, you know, is trying to get the bomb, is trying to get nuclear weapons, ultimately to destroy Israel. It's no accident that behind Hezbollah, right now in the news today, is Iran. Behind Iran is the Tsar Paras. Behind October 7th, what was that? It was Gaza. Behind Gaza was Hamas. Behind Hamas was Iran. Behind Iran was the Tsar Paras. Behind the Tsar Paras is the dragon. And so the thing is, you want to understand Iran, why is it so crazy? This is the reason. And that's why, you know, nations try to control Iran, you know, and they fail. You know, they try to negotiate because you can't, they're not dealing with a nation. They're dealing with an entity, a spirit they're dealing with. And you don't, you cannot negotiate with a spirit. And so this is actually behind it all. And so the other thing is that the, you know, as they, you know, the Bible also says, you know, Ezekiel says Iran's going to attack Israel. It's one, now it's still going to come, but Iran has never attacked Israel directly. It uses others. But the amazing thing is, it is this year we crossed the next prophetic line when Iran, for the first time ever, attacked the nation of Israel. And they sent hundreds of missiles into the land of Israel. And the thing is that this is a gigantic prophetic line. Never happened. And the thing is, it almost led the world to war. You know, the world was waiting that this could be world war. And behind it is a demonic entity. And the thing is, yet, on the other side, the Bible says there's another entity. And the other entity is called the Tsar Yisrael. And that is the principality or entity that is in charge of defending Israel, protecting Israel. And so what is it? Well, it has a name. And the name in Hebrew of this entity means who is like God. And you, the way you say that in Hebrew is Mi-hai-el. We call him Michael. He is the one who is responsible for protecting Israel, particularly in the last days when Israel's come back. And the amazing thing is when Iran sent in all those missiles into the skies of Israel to bring destruction, virtually every one of them was struck down. And they all came at once, and there actually were people who studied this and said there's no way that the defense system could have gotten them all. But it's interesting because the Bible says there's someone else there in the skies of Israel, in the heavens.
Amen.
and that is the prince of Israel. That is Michael. And so you know, I said behind this evil, you got this chain of evil that goes back to the Tsar Paras and to the dragon. And then on the other side, you have a chain of defense, and that is behind Israel, defending Israel, is the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces. Behind the Israel Defense Forces is the Tsar Yisrael, Mikhail, Michael. Behind Michael is Messiah, and Messiah is God. So you have that. And so you want to understand, how does Israel still survive all this? It's got help.
So in the midst of Iran and the leadership of that nation and the man called the Butcher of Tehran, Minister of Death, what about his death? That comes in at this time as well.
Yeah, the Butcher of Tehran, that's right. Yeah, this guy's name was Ebrahim Raisi. He's the president of Iran. And he was the president when Iran sent those missiles to Israel. There is no other president who's ever authorized such a thing. And so he did that. Now, his name, Ebrahim, he's named after, think about it, he's named after Abraham, the father of the Jewish people who he's trying to destroy. And also, his name bears witness to the Abrahamic covenant, which says, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Whatever you do to Israel is going to come back to you. So what did he do? God says that Israel is the apple of his eye. If you touch Israel, you're touching the apple of God's eye. Well, Ebrahim Raisi touched the apple of God's eye. And so he did that. And as he did that, about 30 days later, he was struck down dead. And the thing is, he sought to bring destruction to Israel through these airborne objects, and they would come crashing down and bring destruction. Well, Ebrahim Raisi was in an airborne object in his helicopter over Iran, and he came crashing down as he and brought destruction to him. Just before this happened, he made a threat against Israel, and he said that he threatened the annihilation of the nation of Israel. Now Israel is God's nation. Threatening annihilation, that's like blasphemy. Well, he spoke blasphemy. The day before he died, it was a Sabbath day. And all around the Jewish world, in Israel and throughout the world, there was a scripture that was appointed to be read on that day from ancient times. And it was read all around the world. And the last part of that scripture says this: the man who has spoken the blasphemy shall be struck down. The very next day, the man who spoke the blasphemy was struck down. And the other thing is that in Ezekiel 38, when God speaks about the enemies who will come upon Israel, it says, he says, I will bring you against the mountains, and you shall fall upon the mountains. Abraham Raisi not only was struck down on that day, he was brought down against the mountains, and he fell upon the mountains.
It's powerful. The book addresses some other things. In fact, Rabbi, we want to just be mindful of the time. We have about 14-15 minutes left. And so I want to make sure that that we can cover some of the end of the book as well. But you do address things like Temple Mount, the red heifers, the Antichrist, the secret of the mount. You might want to address some of that. The book goes into detail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is what happened, actually, in our world. Behind it all was prophecy. Behind it all was actually end-time prophecy centering on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is the ground zero of end-time prophecy. That is where the temple is going to be built. That is where the Antichrist is going to come and declare himself God. That is also where the Lord, Messiah, is going to reign from. So, you know, there's going to be spiritual warfare over that mount. The enemy is going to go crazy to keep that mount, to have take control of it, and not let anything happen on that mount of God. And so it's exactly what's happened. The Temple Mount is basically in the hands of the enemy. And he does not allow Jewish people to come up there and pray on the mountain of prayer, the Temple Mount. Well, he doesn't do that, you know, to this day. But so if anything is going to threaten that dominion of the dragon on the mountain, all hell is going to break loose. Well, it happened. People don't realize this. But in before October 7th, something happened on the mount. And this is the secret behind it. What happened is, it was a Hebrew holiday, and there was a rumor that Jewish people were going to come up on the mountaintop, on the Temple Mount, and celebrate Passover with a Passover lamb. And so all hell broke loose on the Temple Mount. And so so what happened is, there was a riot, everything. And It was then that Hamas issued the threat to Israel, said, you're going to pay for this, in effect. So the dragon is going to go crazy and have his revenge for threatening his mount and his dominion. So the result of that was October 7th. October 7th was the dragon's counterattack from the Temple Mount. Hamas even said in their statement of why they did it, they said it was because of the Temple Mount, because you threatened our mount. Of course, it's Israel's mount, but the devil claims it. And they even mentioned the five red heifers. They said those five red cows. Well, who's going to be threatened by red cows? The enemy is,
right?
Because it's about the restoration of the mount. And they even mentioned, they mentioned the Jewish holidays. They said, because you came there to celebrate your sinister holidays. Who would call the holy days of Israel sinister? The devil would. And so this was all behind it. And the thing is that event that happened on the Temple Mount on Passover, Passover was the first Hebrew holy day. Well, the enemy is going to counterattack on the last Hebrew holy day. The last Hebrew holy day is called Shemini Atzeret. When did it fall? It fell on October 7th. And so it happened. And the thing is, you know, this is this mystery even lies behind 9/11. People don't know this, but behind 9/11 was the Temple Mount, the same thing. This and was the dragon, and it was the same issue. He was threatened. And the thing is that when Bin Laden wrote his statement saying why he did October, why he did 9/11, you know what he mentioned? The Temple Mount. And he said because the Israelis threatened the mount. This is the dragon speaking. So both October 7th and September 11th, both are linked to the mountain of prophecy.
Well, there's so much to open up. You know, we've had in our nation this tremendous wave of anti-Israel Semitism, anti-Jewish rage that has swept across our nation. And I guess the question many people are trying to deal with is, what is all this leading up to? And what is the dragon up to? Is there more than one war? What is the big picture?
Yeah, well, this is, you know, what happened around the world was totally supernatural and satanic. It's not rational that when you have a tragedy, the people start around the world start raging, not against the perpetrators of the tragedy, but the victims, the Israeli fathers, mothers, children. They ripped down the pictures of the hostages. I mean, crazy. And Harvard University. I mean, this is not just. This is not. We're not talking about an Islamic place. We're talking about America. And so you've seen this all over. They're chanting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free." They're that's a chant for the destruction of Israel. And the thing is, you know where it comes from? This shows you the dragon's fingerprints, because the dragon always takes the things of God and he twists them, and he perverts them, and he turns them upside down. You know where it comes from? From the river to the sea? It comes from the Bible. When God promised the land of Israel to the children of Israel, to the Jewish people, he said again, over and over again, from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea. So the enemy takes the promise of God to the land, and he turns it upside down to war against the promise of the land to Israel. So this is totally satanic. And, you know, you would for the world to see this, you know, it says in Revelation about the dragon, out of his mouth came spirits that went forth to the whole earth, and they gathered the world together to come to Israel to Armageddon, basically to destroy Israel. And you know, so this we just saw a shadow of that, because you know, people said, well, how can that happen? How the whole world gets this little tiny nation? Well, you want to understand that? You just saw the first fruit of it when you saw all across the world the most widespread outbreak of anti-Semitism in world history. And it made no sense. And that's just a little thing. And what's coming? What's coming is Armageddon. And, you know who was leading those things? The young, the next generation. And, you know, when they did a study of American young people, they found out that most of them don't favor Israel. They favor Hamas. And they were in favor of what happened on October 7th. That is the future. Except for the hand of God, that is the future.
Rabbi, if you will allow me, I really want to ask you this question. What about the rest of the children? I'm looking at this scripture, and the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to wage war with the rest of her children. Who are they?
Yeah, well, it's the rest of Israel's children. So it's not Israel, but it's the children of Israel, so who are not Israel. So they are Israel. They're not. Who are they? Well, the Bible says that if you're born again, you're a child of Israel.
There you go.
And so it's you. And actually it says in that scripture, it says those who follow Messiah. It's you. And so the dragon wars not only against Israel, he wars against every child of God, every believer, every Christian, true Christian, if you're born again. So when he wars against Israel, that you're a part of it. He wars against you. He wars against Israel. You know, it's a physical nation, so he does it physically. But he wars against the spiritual children of Israel, spiritually, with persecution, with deception, with trying to wipe them out from a nation. Well, that is what's coming. And so in the end times, the dragon's war is going to increase against both. He's going to rage against Israel, the Jewish people, and against Christians, the spiritual people of God. And so that is where we are. And so the last part of the book is the war. And not only that, the dragon wars against every person listening to this program. because if you're in the image of God, he's been warned against you since you were born. And so the last part of the dragon's prophecy, you know, there's all these opening of all the mysteries, but then what do we do? And how do we recognize the war against our own life and the strategy, and how do we overcome it? That's what the last part is all about.
Well, the secret Israelis, I loved your chapters that address that and the alliance that the church has with the Word of God and with the people of God with Israel.
Oh yeah. This is something that a lot of believers don't understand. But you know, some of them could, you know, say, okay, I'm spiritually Jewish. You know, I'm grafted in. All right, you can say I'm a spiritual Israelite. Okay, but you're not just a spiritual Israelite. You're a spiritual Israeli. In fact, the way you say Israelite in Hebrew is Israeli. So the thing is, the Israelis are back in the world as a sign also for you, the child of God. And you know how the world's against Israel? Well, the world's against you spiritually. And here's the thing. The Jewish people were not known as fighters. I mean, in ancient times, yeah. But not for thousands of years. They weren't allowed to fight, pretty much. They didn't have a nation. So they came back to Israel. And they realized something. They realized that if we don't fight, we are going to be destroyed. We're gone. And that was the absolute truth. So they had these people who didn't fight had to learn how to fight. So these survivors of the Holocaust had to put on army fatigues. And they went with used weapons, smuggled in. You know, they didn't know how to fight, and yet they won. Yet God anointed them, where they became among the greatest fighters on the planet. And that said something. Because you, who are born again, you are the secret Israeli. And so in the end times, just as the Jewish people had to learn how to fight in the end times because of the dragon, all of us have to learn how to fight in the end times spiritually, to become warriors in the spirit. As the Israelis are to the world, we are to in the spirit. And you are to become mighty in the spirit of God. And the thing is, what does it mean to fight? Well, it means you say no to the dragon. It means you say no to his purposes and plans for the culture around you. No to his plans for the children. No to his plans for your family. No to his plans for your life and your walk. You say, no, I'm fighting you. Taking up the full armor of God. We war not against flesh and blood. We war against principalities. Taking up that full armor, we stand strong and we fight the dragon.
So when we look in the final story, we have the picture of the dragon and the lamb. And when you talk about fighting and warring and, you know, some of us as believers struggle with that whole concept, but looking at Masada and thinking about how that was a place, and every time I go to Israel, I like to go to Masada. I haven't climbed it yet, but just going there and looking at what happened on that mountain and how the soldiers took their oath of service, and how really when we come into the kingdom of God, we take an oath not only of receiving but also of service. And you address some of that in your closing thoughts in the book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the last part, which is this. First of all, in the book of Revelation, you don't have just a dragon, you got a lamb. And between the lamb and the dragon war, and most people would expect the dragon to win against the lamb, but the lamb wins. The lamb is Messiah. And the thing is, you know, the dragon, interesting, is reptilian. And, you know, reptiles are cold-blooded. They can fight, but they can't last. They can't endure. And, the evil is not going to win because it can't win. It can't endure. But good cannot end, cannot fail. And so, you know, the dragon loses in the end, and the lamb wins. And if you're following the lamb, if you're in the lamb, you're going to win. The thing is that it says, that's the very chapter where it says, but they overcame him, the dragon, by the blood of the lamb. So the thing is, we do win. And the word, the cool thing, the word for overcome, you know, it means conquer, prevail. It's written in the about the future, but in the past tense. In other words, it's as good as done. We're fighting a one war. It's done. We have victory already, but you can only see the victory if you fight the fight. So the thing is, we do win in the end, yes. We are on the winning side. Don't ever think otherwise. And the thing is, and you want proof of that? Look at the Jewish people. You know, for 4,000 years, the enemy's trying to wipe them out. They had no defense. They should be gone. They should be in the museums with the Hittites.
Right.
You know, the Pharaohs tried it. The Assyria did. Rome did. Babylon did. Hitler did. Soviet Union. But they're all gone. They're all fallen. But the nation of Zion of Israel, you're going to live, you're going to prevail. That is, you got to fight the fight.